Welcome to Wellness Renaissance and Gluten-Free and Other Special Diets podcast, supporting you on your unique journey to finding your best health. Hey again, this is Judy B. You are joining us for part two of Megan's interview with Dr. Edward Simczak. The four practitioner interviews in this series are part of Megan's senior project as a UMD public health education and promotion student at UMD. Like I said, this is the second part of Megan's interview with Dr. Ed, and he is a naturopathic physician based in Superior, Wisconsin. Just a fair warning, there is a little bit of a tiny audio blip that happens about 10 minutes before the end of the interview. We had a little glitch where just a few words were dropped within the same sentence. So basically, you'll probably catch the whole meaning if you're listening to it, but it's just bridging the concept of the cost of the introductory sessions with a naturopath in a larger city like Seattle, for instance. I'll come back at the end to share his contact information. Now, back to Megan and Dr. Ed's interview.
Well, going along with now that we know what you do, why do you believe in what you do? Like, what really kind of kicked it off, if you want to share, then something that made you go into this field as well, just to give us a background story of it?
Yeah, sure. So two main experiences. The first one was when I was working with children and mental health. When, you know, my wife and I, we did therapeutic foster care for 2 years for teenage girls who had therapeutic needs, and it was behavioral health disorders, and it was let's just say this. When we moved into the home and we had the four teenage girls, before we moved there was a lot of physical restraints, several, each week. And after we were there was 2 and 2 years. And all of them got off of half their medications. They lost a significant amount of weight. Most got in school, got jobs. And things went really well, reconnected with families, and none of them ended up getting pregnant until after the age of 20, which is a pretty big success. And I would spoke about this to, you know, spoke about this with a psychologist, and they said, so what did you do? And I told them, and they said, so just TLC. And so TLC was like, we made meals together, we had family fun night, you know, we went hiking all the time. And, you know, we took them on our family vacations. We made them a part of things. It wasn't like this separate. And that was reduced down to TLC. It was minimized because it wasn't scientific enough. And that really pissed me off because I would go into the psychiatry visits and it was literally 2 to 3 minutes with these super, like, simple questions. And then they would just rearrange medications. And I was like, so that's psychiatry? Like, that's what that is? Mm-hmm. All that training is just so you can, you know, like, shake up a snow globe of medications and then see what comes out. And so that's kind of set me off. Mm-hmm. And then we had two experiences in the hospital with our first two children where, like I said, I'd been in a variety of settings with all my pre-medical things, and I had way more hours than anyone else that was applying. But, you know, we had our daughter, and it was a long labor. The first labor is typically really long, you know, and my wife is a collegiate athlete, she's in very good shape, and there was no complications, and the nurses kept saying, please, just don't do this to yourself. Like, don't put yourself through this. Oh. You know, we'll just get Pitocin. We'll just get you an epidural. Like, but you don't need to put yourself through this. Mm-hmm. And that was the message she got, even though she requested to have a natural birth, just because she wanted to see what that felt like. She wanted that experience. It had nothing to do with it being natural. Right. It was just like, you know, the word. It wasn't anything stigmatized. She wanted to feel that. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, but then no one supported her. No one. And so then there was a whole series of events throughout that birthing experience that were irritating. But the second time we went there, then, also, one nurse said, we need an IV. And we're like, no, we talked to our doctor. She doesn't need an IV. She likes to walk around and, you know, she's in really great shape. We all agreed on this beforehand. And the nurse is like, no, you need an IV. I'm like, no, we already figured this out. And she's like, well, you can't be here without an IV. And so I was like, all right, fine, give me the release papers. And I signed off and we left. And we actually came back then, like, last minute. So with our second mm-hmm. you know, it was just this kind of this whole story over again, and we were really just kind of like, oh man, this is just ridiculous. It's mm-hmm. like a
special time is now being kind of hindered by the medical practice.
Yeah, they kept getting in the way. Mm-hmm. You know, this is supposed to be something where you are able to relax. I mean, the cat doesn't have the kittens in the middle of the living room, right? Mm-hmm. If it's not comfortable, it's not going to have it. It goes off somewhere where it needs to be relaxed and feel safe, whether it be like in the closet or in the garage or the woods, whatever. You know, and people are no different. They need to feel safe. They need to feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And with all of this like pushiness and like how to do it and what's right and It was super irritating. So after that, we met a midwife, which I was really actually pretty skeptical about, because I was just like, I don't even know. I've never even heard about this. I don't know anything about it. And I thought I knew something about, you know, medicine at the time, which I didn't. But, you know, then I met her, and she was a naturopath. And I was like, what on earth is that? Mm-hmm. Is this even real? And I actually have a lot of the questions that my patients, when they first come here, mm-hmm. ask. I was like, how is this legitimate? Like, what's your training? What, you know, what do you do if this is safe? Like, what do you do when things don't work? What do you, you know? And she answered all the questions and took an hour and a half with us. And it was an excellent experience. I was like, okay, let's go with it. And she had the birthing tub, and it was low risk pregnancy. So we had it at home, and she had an excellent, excellent experience. And it was like, okay. Then she came the next day to our house and checked in on us and helped her with her mastitis, which, you know, she only had then once that time, where she had it 7 or 8 times the first two pregnancies. And it was like, huh, okay, all right, so I need to check this out. So that's when I actually looked it up online. I started checking it out. I was like, whoa, no way. Like, the scope of practice in these states that the schools are in are, is crazy. And I hadn't even heard of it. So I flew out there and checked it out. And I was like, called my wife, and I said, we're applying. And if we get in, we're moving. And
does your wife practice naturopathy as well, or
no, so yeah, so that's kind of how that all came to be. Those are the two experiences.
So it was more so, it wasn't something that you had an experience that was so wonderful, is that the experiences were so terrible, and I guess
usually it's one of those things, right, that leads you,
it's something really wonderful or something very terrible that turned you off or onto it. So it was, for you, it was more turned you off of the medicine, and with your background in schooling, really kind of just definitely kept you off the path of going down traditional medicine.
Right, and then I had a positive experience with a naturopath mm-hmm. that helped me see, like, oh, wait a minute, I can do primary care and do it the way that I want to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to have 10-minute visits. Like, right. I can have 30-minute visits and we can take our time. That's okay, right? And I don't need to go by the drum of what the insurance company tells me is everything I have to do. And if I don't check all these like 50 million boxes,
right,
then I'm not doing my job.
Very and, much so your own scope of right, what is needed and not needed. And
yeah, there's a lot of overlapping things, like I mm-hmm. mentioned before, like all right. of the standards of care. But it's the point was, is that, you know, I saw how she took the time to talk mm-hmm. to us and how she handled herself. And then also the options she had that weren't just another antibiotic for mastitis. And it was like, okay, this is pretty cool. I like this idea of options, because what happens when we run out of options when there's only 2 or 3?
Right.
And so that was cool. And then working at, you know, mental health and seeing how what worked there versus what pharmaceuticals didn't do there, mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I think there's more to this than I really know. I want to know more. And so I looked into it and said, I just decided to go for it, even though I had literally no understanding of the treatment modalities. I'd never had an adjustment ever. I'd never taken a botanical medicine. None of it. But just, I just felt like this was it. I mean, I'd been around healthcare enough mm-hmm. that this was, I could see that that's the way I wanted to conduct myself.
Well, going into then more about the conducting your practice, could you give us a little detail on your training background and the schooling that you went through, like mm-hmm. hours, and because it said that you are the equivalent of a GP, basically. Mm-hmm. So
the training is fairly similar in a lot of ways. In other ways, it's different. I'll give you the two different stories. So when you go to medical school, when it's a naturopathic medical school program, mm-hmm. the first 2 years, right now they're moving to integrative curriculums like most of the schools are, so, but I'm going to keep it to the older style just for this discussion's sake.
Simplicity.
Right. So the first 2 years are didactic, where you're doing your, you know, anatomy and physiology and biochemistry and pathophysiology and gross lab and all the basic didactic courses, right? And so those classes are literally the same as UW. So University of Wisconsin, or sorry, Wisconsin, University of Washington, mm-hmm. okay, their medical school, like I've met many of their medical school students, and our didactic courses are the same. They're all taught by PhD level professors. Actually, the only difference is that we have more hours at Bastyr in our didactic coursework, particularly anatomy and physiology and biochemistry. And the reason is because for what I do, it's really important to know how things work mm-hmm. when they're working correctly.
Right.
Because if you know how they work when they work correctly, then that gives you a framework to how to work with pathology mm-hmm. when it's not, and to try and figure out how to get it back to working correctly.
Right.
So that's really similar. And then when you look at the traditional medical school after year two, they have the USMLE step one. That's their first exam to get passed through their, you know, their didactic coursework. We have the NCLEX step one, which is exactly the same thing. It's
just a different name.
It's all about that. Yep. And that's and those are a nationally accredited, you know, like exams. Mm-hmm. So you take that and then you move on. And then this is where it really diverges, because in the classwork, let's actually back it up. So in a traditional medical school, what they'll do is they'll start doing their rotations. They'll say 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, 2 weeks here, where they start to go around and they're getting their bird's eye view of all the different areas in medicine.
Right.
And at Bastyr and naturopathic medical schools, everything is around family practice.
Okay.
That is from the get-go. There's, you know, you don't go to the hospital to do rotations. You don't go to, you know, a specialist unless you want to or you sign up for it. Mm-hmm. But everything else is around family practice. So,
okay.
You know, what does that mean? That means, you know, that there is, you know, patient care, which is basically your family practice visits. Mm-hmm. But then there are some specialty ones like, okay, we have pain management, and then we have cardiovascular and diabetes health. And we have, there is a integrative oncology, which is something that you have to, you know, take up on your own time. That's a different one than I took. And then there's counseling. You have to take 4 counseling classes, but you also have to take 1 counseling shift where you're just you and a patient with a PhD psychologist behind the screen, right?
Wow.
Listening to you, mm-hmm. giving you like pointers and tips and how to go through this. And then there's physical medicine, where that's where you do all the adjustments and the soft tissue work and go through all that. So there's all these different things that are useful for family practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basis, that's the foundation of
right.
it, right? So that starts at year two, where you're, you know, you're the one typing and you're not really doing much. You're mm-hmm. just kind of observing, and then you move into where you're, you know, you start to have more say, you take easier patients, and you always have supervisors that are the doctors, right?
Right.
And those are the ones that they check in with you at multiple points. You preview, so you give them the patient, you mm-hmm. present, you know, such and such, a 78-year-old, blah, 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 blah. And then they ask you all these questions, make sure that you're prepared, and you go in and you start the visit, and then as that goes along, then you check in with them, and you mm-hmm. say, okay, you know, this is what I'm thinking, this is how it goes, and then they check you, make you aware of all the things you don't know. and then you go back in together, and then the doctor meets the patient, and then they kind of help refine things, and you go back out together, and you refine the treatment plan. And it just evolves to where at the end of your graduation, then, you know, you're spending a lot less time with your, you know, physician, even though you always have the supervisor there,
right?
And you're always checking in, they always meet the patient, but it's more on you and less on them. And at the same time, then, you know, that third and fourth year is when all of the ology classes are. So that's like pulmonology, endocrinology, rheumatology, gastroenterology, all the classes that are also at the conventional medical schools. But the classes look a little bit different.
Okay.
So what that means is that we spend more time on different modalities that might be interventions, whereas they would strictly focus on the pharmaceuticals, right? But the understanding and the pathology and pathophysiology of how these conditions manifest and everything is all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there's other things like diet nutrient therapy. Those are a specific set of classes that are all on their own. And then same with the botanical medicines, there's 5 separate classes just for botanical medicines, and that comes with a lab as well. You also require to take nutrition and also cooking classes. I took a cooking class, which was really good. And then, of course, the physical medicine classes, where mm-hmm. and there's a set of five classes just for that, too. So we have to really pack them all in,
yeah.
which is why after 1 year, mm-hmm. I was home literally like 4 or 5 hours a week. And I was wow. talking to my wife about it, and I was like, this is really rough. So they allowed me to split it into 5 years.
Okay.
So after that first year, I did that, which was actually really excellent mm-hmm. because I was a little bit ahead, and there's all these extraneous opportunities that you have. So what does that mean? That means that I got to go and shadow an MD at Children's Hospital. I got to go to spend time at the emergency room mm-hmm. at Evergreen Hospital. I got to go to community health clinics, which actually employ naturopathic doctors, oh. which is pretty awesome. And I also got to spend time at various other community clinics, you know, that are run by different providers, which is partly mandatory. Mm-hmm. And then I did some extra ones as well. And then I also spent time in research for Parkinson's and right. integrative oncology, which was a really big part of what I felt was important to my training. So instead of doing it in four, I split it out to five and took that extra time to do all these different experiences, right?
And get the experience, the hands-on experience.
That's, right.
Can't beat anything with experience, but experience.
Right, which is this is where the kicker comes in, because now we're at graduation, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so regular doctors that are, you know, like they've done all their rotations. Mm-hmm. Now they've chosen what they want to do, mm-hmm. but they have to match, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they match, and let's say they go to family practice. So they haven't spent that much time in family practice.
Right.
So residency is 3 years. So an R1 is a mainly observational role. And now, to the degree of how much observation versus how much interaction they have is dependent on where they're doing their residency.
Okay.
But where they're starting their R1 is really, comparatively speaking, to whom I've talked to about this, to that second and third year at Bastyr, where we're starting to get in the clinic and we're starting to deal with patients and do that every day. So then they start their family practice at R1, R2, and 3 and such, and they're independent. And at Bastyr and in naturopathic medicine, residency is not mandatory.
Oh.
So this is an issue. This is an issue because there are not a large surplus of naturopathic doctors offering residencies.
Okay.
And as the population of students grows, it outnumbers the amount of residencies that are available. So you can choose to apply for residency if you mm-hmm. want to, and if you get one, then excellent. And I think that that is particularly prudent if you're going to practice in a state that has a pharmaceutical scope.
Okay.
Because having that extra training with someone next to you is a big deal when you're gonna start prescribing pharmaceuticals.
Right.
Now, given that I took an extra year, you know, to have a more robust experience, I decided mm-hmm. I wasn't gonna do that because I'm coming back here
mm-hmm.
and it could be 10, 20 years before the scope changes. I have no idea.
Right.
And I was like, I wanna come back where my family is and get started. So I did not go through a residency. And this is an issue because a lot of the doctors in the different states will argue, well, they can't do primary care because they don't have a residency. But they also don't have a clue as to how the school system is set up and how you're basically doing a residency, particularly that fourth whole year.
Right.
So this is a big diversion in what people feel is qualified.
Okay.
And I would just, you know, if anything, I would echo the past when MDs didn't have residencies or had 1 year residencies and how, you know, that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now to like shame people for having, you know, not
right.
the same amount of training that they do,
exactly.
I think is really unfair. Because I would like to see naturopathic medicine have 1 year residencies be mandatory, but it takes time and
mm-hmm.
it takes the resources to get it there. So I'd advocate for it definitely, but I wouldn't use it as a argument point to say that one's better than the other. Yeah.
So the biggest difference that I got from you explaining the two different pathways is that the residency is really the only difference, but like you said, you still get the same hands-on experience during your fourth year as what they do during their residency.
Maybe not the entirety of their residency, because 3 years is a whole load of experience. That's a pretty big deal. But I think
the first year.
Yes, the first year for sure. And then also, you know, so this is strictly speaking from, you know, from a nuts and bolts perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at it also from the philosophy of medicine, there is a difference too. You know, I mean, when the focus on, let's say, a conventional, a conventional clinic is where there's a lot of high volume and there are short visits.
Mm-hmm.
The philosophy of care may be different than here, where we, you know, where it's like, okay, I did take a whole year and a half of counseling and biofeedback. And it's like, so that's part of what we do here. And then, you know, we talk about diet and lifestyle in a different way. Mm-hmm. And we look at different options and consider what's worth it and what's not. And so that whole approach is really just a different style of medicine too. Mm-hmm. So the training is hard. It's kind of an apples and oranges thing. So it's hard to compare because, you know, if we were just saying it's about years, well, okay, sure, there's more years over here. But if we're doing something different, then how much does that matter?
Right.
You know?
Very interesting to see the in-depth experience and schooling that still is required. And when people don't think that naturopathic or holistic and non-traditional medicine, like, oh, well, it's just certificates and stuff. But to really see that you guys do the in-depth and even almost deeper experience in the nutrition and the patient care. Mm-hmm. To really go that extra mile.
Right, which, so this is something I want to say just because I think it's really important for everyone to know, is that when someone doesn't come, when they're a naturopathic doctor that does not come from a 4-year accredited, mm-hmm. you know, university, then they're not a naturopathic doctor, hands down. Because people who get certificates or they 2-year programs or they call themselves that or say they do natural medicine or whatever it is, if they don't have the training to figure out how to diagnose someone and how to responsibly treat someone, then they're not a doctor. Because if you rely on all the other doctors to do all of that hard work, mm-hmm. and then, you know, they come to you and you just basically give them some internet protocol for treatment, that's not you knowing
that's
a lot.
Education.
No, that's just you finding something that you think might help.
Right.
That doesn't mean that you have the ability to manage that person's care. And so it's really important too for other doctors when they think about who's doing naturopathic medicine. It's not an alternative. It's all medicine. It's a whole spectrum. Mm-hmm. And if they're talking about, you know, licensed or registered naturopathic doctors, it's a very different group of people than if they refer to someone who does quote unquote natural medicine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a very important distinction to know about because there's huge confusion about that.
So really doing research to make sure that your naturopathic doctor did attend a 4-year accredited university.
Right. And or anyone else who says they do natural medicine.
Question them. Well, I know you touched on it a little bit with the apples and the oranges of describing the education and that you can't really describe one better than the other, but do you feel that the medicine itself or experience is better to do complementary or just your naturopathic or Western? Do you think that each one has a time and a place, or do you really think that all of them together, like the naturopathic, of whether or not it's prescribing the pharmaceuticals or using the botanicals, what works best? Or best isn't the right word, but I'm at a loss of describing the word that I want to use.
Okay, I think I know what you're asking. So there is a time and a place for everything.
Okay.
Yep. It's very difficult to have a handle on all of it. Right. Medicine's huge, and it's constantly growing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just when you think you got something figured out, there's a new guideline, there's a new recommendation, it's always changing because research is developing, we're finding out what works better. And then something new comes on the market, and it's like, oh, now we got to take a look at that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would say that you mentioned complementary. So I don't like the word complementary.
Okay.
I also don't like the word alternative. I like the word, because it's all medicine, right?
Yeah.
So a complementary or alternative is saying, okay, well, there's medicine
and then there's
other stuff, okay? So I would say that I would really challenge that because I've had people, actually I have patients every day that come here that have not found benefit from their medicine, right? And they come here, quote unquote, right?
Medicine.
And they come here and they get better. It could be 50% better, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they were not getting better with their conventional treatment.
Okay.
And so does that mean that this other stuff is medicine or isn't medicine? It is, of course,
that's,
if it's
yes.
helpful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would challenge the wording around that. And
I think
you're asking is would I find it more valuable to go to be an MD and then learn about things like about what I do, or go to find be a naturopath and learn about what MDs do, or is there a meet in the middle? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, yes, that would be, I feel, the best way. The different styles of practicing the medicines?
Okay, so it really depends on what your goal is, because if you're working hard and fast and you're going through a really high volume of patients, then you can't do what I do because you need time for it. Because when we're doing counseling at all, right, that takes time. So you can't do super high volume, just write the scripts and leave, mm-hmm. right? Now, naturopathic medicine from a four-year accredited university is trying to find that in-between space. I went to Bastyr. I only applied to Bastyr because they focus on integrative medicine.
Okay.
Integrative meaning we're putting it all together mm-hmm. and seeing what works best for each person. That's the way that I look at it. I think that there are some things that are more quote-unquote naturopathic mm-hmm. that tend to work better for some conditions and some mm-hmm. people. Or then there are things that are considered more conventional that are definitely better for some people with some conditions. And whether which direction you go is really just based on really what evidence do you have mm-hmm. for benefit or harm and cost, which is always a part of it.
Right.
And then, okay, where are they at? Like, is this person in a place where they need to have it managed immediately?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that can be worked on over time? And so here I've found that most of my patients come in for chronic care, and then I also get a smattering of primary care.
Right.
Okay. Now, if the scope were different, I would do a lot more primary care.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also offer a lot more of the acute therapies, which, you know, is what the conventional system is really excels at.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's say this. You're having, you know, heart palpitations and you're getting really warm and you feel like you're gonna have a panic attack, and it's like, okay, you know, you need to go into the ER because you might be experiencing Graves' disease and you have having a hyperthyroid storm. So it's really important that we have these acute services. We don't want you to have a heart attack. We want to make sure that you're safe. And acute therapies are really important. And conventional medicine does them very, very well. Now, if it's something that's chronic and low grade or even mid grade or sometimes even acute, but it's been going on and we're not getting anywhere, and it's like, okay, we need to look at the bigger picture. We can't just rely on this single drug pharmaceutical to manage everything.
Right.
And if that is doing 50%, okay, then fine, it's managed. And then someone throws up their hands and say, well, I can't do anything else for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's particularly where I find that the naturopathic modalities really come in handy, because it's like, okay, now we need to step back. We need to look at this from all angles and see what makes the most sense so we can get a point of leverage and help you feel better.
I know that I personally have looked into, like, with cancer, do you work with anything along those lines? Because I know that chemo side effects with the nausea, using naturopathic medicine in conjunction with the chemotherapy, does that really, have you noticed, have you ever worked with that? Because I know you mentioned something about oncology, mm-hmm. working with that, if you
yeah.
want to touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America has naturopathic doctors on staff. They are what's called a FABNO. It's a particular certification program that you go through as a naturopathic doctor
mm-hmm.
in oncology. So you actually do work specifically with cancer patients.
Okay.
So there's a lot of room for growth there, because there's all sorts of naturopathic therapies that help with, whether it be chemotherapeutics that deplete certain nutrients, which can cause side effects, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get someone to have less side effects, then they can handle the actual dose of chemo that they need to get their benefit.
Right.
So there's definitely room there for sure. And this the problem with that kind of question, though, is that cancer is a really giant topic, and all the different kinds of cancer have different treatment regimens.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be really sensitive to that discussion, saying, okay, well, all right, if someone is using, let's say, doxorubicin and it happens to be cardiotoxic, then what can we do to help their heart health out at the same mm-hmm. time, so that they can not only get the right dose but not experience harm from the chemo? So same goes for radiation, and same goes for, you know, pretty much all the way across the board.
That was a very good description for me, just kind of like broaden to know that cancer, even Cancer Treatments of America, is really moving forward in medicine.
Yep. There's MPHs that work at those places
yep.
too. They're gathering their data and, you know, putting it all together. And at Bastyr, we have a comparative trial going with the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance right now. And after 4 years of you know, comparison studies, the outcomes at Bastyr are significantly better than the SCCA. And it's still preliminary, though, because it's only 5 years in. But mm-hmm. when we start to look at 5-year data, it's promising. So I think that it's absolutely appropriate that naturopaths work together with oncologists,
okay.
but not as oncologists.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I know you touched on this a little bit, just because I know when it comes to non-traditional, well, no, you said not to use non-traditional, to the...
That's okay.
It's hard because that's the general term that is used around not Western medicine, is that it's different. It's
right, that's why I just call it naturopathic medicine. Just make it, get the term out there.
With naturopathic medicine, the price signs come up because it's, you know, people don't know whether or not their insurance is, and with Minnesota not being recognized yet for that. If you want to discuss a little bit about how maybe you do your pricing and a little bit, if you know how the insurance work, like you said, Seattle, how it's full coverage there and it's the same exact thing.
Yep.
Want to touch on that a little bit more?
Absolutely.
First.
Absolutely. Because that is a big obstacle.
Yeah.
So moving back here, having a cash-based practice, it's, you know, it works because right now there's only a couple people that do what I do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, supply and demand basically says, okay, people that can afford it will do it.
Right.
And so they have the option and they can pay. And it's $135 for my first office call, which is an hour and a half.
Okay.
And then my follow-ups are 75, and those are 45 minutes. Now, that's actually not very much, because if you go out to Seattle and some of the larger cities, you know, even in the cities, the first office calls get to be around $200-$400.
Wow.
And so $135 is really very, very cheap. When you think about all the things that I'm taking a look at and the time that I take my patients, it's an extraordinarily low rate. If I were to use insurance, my reimbursement rate for my first office calls, even though they would require I maybe spend 45 minutes with you, I would get time and a half on that. So insurance would increase the amount of pay that I would get. For sure. Yes, it increases my overhead at the same time and billing and all that sort of thing. Right. But it's a fairly reasonable rate. But still, $135 is a lot. It's a lot of money. And for healthcare, I ethically have a problem with, you know, outpricing people for something that should be given to them. And so since insurance isn't on board, I decided to make my own care plan. And what that is it functions like a membership, like almost like a gym membership, where it's like, you know, okay, so sign up for a year, and for $54 a month, you can see me as much as you need to see me. And then at the same time, we'll get your labs at cost, we'll get you, you know, discounts on anything that you happen to need here, just to make it easier for you to access care. I am totally impartial to which people choose. I don't tell them to do one or the other. I said, whatever you want to do, if you think you'll only be here a couple times, great, perfect. Just go ahead with the visit per visit. If you want to have access later, or you think you're going to need this a lot, if you like it, then do the membership because it'll save you money. And it works out because some people, they do come a lot. Some of my patients come every other week. And then I have some patients who they sign up and they've only come once, and that's okay because they just like to know later that they can. So it all balances out. But it does make it where it's more affordable because people can usually afford $54 a month as opposed to, let's say, their cell phone bill is two or three times that, right?
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Now, that being said, it still does outprice some people, you know, because I can't offer it for less, and some people don't have an income, and that's difficult. And I don't like to turn people away, so I do what I can. But that's the best solution that I've found so far, and it's worked out pretty well.
Kind of working with what you have so far. Hopefully it does expand and the scope of insurance reaches Minnesota and Wisconsin maybe sometime.
Yep, absolutely. And I think it will. It's just a matter of time because every year one or two states makes an advance on their scope or a law being put in place for naturopathic doctors. So it's really just a matter of time where we hit the critical threshold of naturopaths that can help get a law through, where we have enough patients that have experienced benefit that are like, you know what, I really like to have my insurance covered. This is absurd that I have to pay out of pocket for someone who talks about these things with me. And so then insurance will be like, okay, fine. Actually, you know what, it saves money because that treatment was a lot cheaper than the drugs that we, you know, were prescribing. So if we could move down from that, then that's great because it saves everybody money. Or, oh, guess what? Now this person has a lot less pain. They're not missing work as much, or they're, you know, so on and so forth.
They're happier at work, maybe, even, so
they're
productive.
Maybe, exactly. So, you know, the point is that there's cost savings. Even though the visits take longer, there is cost savings in other ways. And the CEO not too long ago from, I think it was Aetna, or don't quote me on that, but was giving a speech, and he was saying that, you know, everyone should really accept naturopaths because in the long run, insurance companies save money too. So that's why right now the VA is taking a real hard look at getting naturopathic doctors into their service as well. So I think that you're going to see it become more accessible. And in the meantime, this membership program has been a great way to meet people in the middle to reduce cost and increase access.
Yeah, it sounds like it's really working out well. And I've never heard of a naturopathic doctor working with, or really any doctor working at that level. I mean, having a plan to come to my doctor whenever I want to would be really beneficial.
Well, it'd be nice to not have to pay a $20 or $30 copay or something like that.
Exactly.
You know, when you already paid your premium, mm-hmm. and then it still have a big deductible to go towards. And,
right.
you know, there's other doctors that do this sort of thing, not in this area, but it's called direct primary care.
Okay.
And so conventional doctors that say, okay, we're going to do a direct primary care service, they might have the same fee,
mm-hmm.
and they have now 500-600 members, and then that can count as their Affordable Health Care Act insurance. So the same thing could happen in the future for, let's say, my practice, where if the scope opens up and then the state would accept this as an insurance plan, you could use that as your primary care insurance, and then you had have a catastrophic plan as your backup in case something really went sour. So there's options, and I think that being open to options like this is really important, because right now, when it comes to medicine, we've got a real big problem on our hand. You know, we talk about this whole housing bubble and how that was a big, bad problem. Well, we've got a healthcare bubble right now, because we're trying to rein in healthcare costs by doing all the wrong things. Okay, so for example, we're trying to nationalize healthcare, right?
Right.
And if you've seen anyone put, you know, like out there how much their premiums have gone up mm-hmm. recently, it's pretty big. I mean, it's like 50%,
yes.
Sometimes more. And it's like, holy cow, how can I, this is half of my mortgage now, or my mortgage, and that's ridiculous. But on the other hand, we have no regulation of healthcare cost. So what do I mean by that? I mean, you go and get a knee replacement one place, it's drastically different cost than if you go to another place.
Mm-hmm.
No one's regulating the cost of medical equipment and supplies and sometimes services. So
mm-hmm.
how can we expect to pay for everybody when with this community based healthcare plan,
mm-hmm.
but within it is a for-profit system that is trying to make money, right? So you see where we have this issue,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, if all the knee replacements cost $2,000, then we could figure out just how much we would need,
mm-hmm.
right, to cover that. But when one is 5 and one is 10 and one's 25 and there's no one, you know, doing anything, it all gets billed to insurance and then it all gets paid for by who knows where.
Mm-hmm.
Like we need to regulate that better if we're going to have a functional healthcare system that can actually pay for itself. So having creative solutions to cost is a really, I think, important thing to address. And so I'll do what I can here because I'm no different. And I'm, you know, even though I do realize I'm working to also pay my own bills
right.
as an individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any benefit in fleecing patients or taking advantage of them to make a higher profit margin, because that's not what offering medicine is.
No.
That's just going into medicine because it's a good job,
mm-hmm.
because your parents told you it was a good job or something like that.
Well, kind of towards the end of this now, is there anything that you would really like to resonate in with anyone, with everyone, of naturopathic medicine and your experience, just as some final notes?
To be honest with you, I would just encourage everyone to have an open mind, because if you don't have experience, you know, with something,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that it's invalid. And I went in pretty naive into a lot of my healthcare experiences and learned a lot from both medical doctors, naturopathic doctors, and now in my own practice, I can see that medicine is much more complicated than anyone gives it credit for. It's not just about, you know, monitoring a number on a piece of paper and making sure someone fits in this little box. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a big, big paradigm. So, you know, if someone says, oh, hey, you know, I was thinking of this or trying that or want or talk to a friend about whatever, it's interesting to be open to it and say, okay, that could be true. And how, you know, if you're an evidence-based person, like, go and look it up. It's
mm-hmm.
pretty interesting to see what's out there. Or if you're an anecdotal person, say, well, gosh, well, what cultures might have done such and such? And just because something's not done the way that you're used to doesn't mean that it doesn't work.
Right.
But that also doesn't mean that it does work. Because everyone's different.
Right.
So even though, you know, even though, let's say, one person responds great to one blood pressure medication,
mm-hmm.
another one might not. Same thing happens in naturopathic care, where some people get great responses, and it's like, wow, that was a home run. And then someone comes in, and they're like, man, nothing, it didn't really help. And that's part of it. That's part of medicine. We're all different. So keep an open mind, and if you're interested in you know, having a discussion or learning more about integrative medicine, especially about naturopathic medicine, you can go to the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, AANP.
Okay.
And they have a really nice website. So does every state has their own website too.
Oh.
And those are good resources to get a jump start.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Ed, and letting us dive deeper into naturopathic medicine.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ed, for your time and a really thorough and thought-provoking interview. If you would like to connect with Dr. Ed, his practice is called Tamarack Natural Medicine and is located in Superior, Wisconsin, in the building connected to the Red Mug Coffee Shop. You can reach him via his website at tamaracknaturalmedicine.com. Be sure to listen to Megan's fourth and last practitioner interview. She will be talking with Erin DeWitt, an energy medicine practitioner with Conscious Living Now in Duluth. I welcome you to connect with Wellness Renaissance and myself at wellnessren.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/wellnessren. Explore other podcast episodes. You can check out information on our health, wellness, and food group that meets here in Duluth most months of the year, as well as other offerings, and connect via email if that's what you like. Thank you again so much for listening. Be well.